Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Paranormal Science.
Welcome to another edition of Paranormal Science. I'm Joe Hawk.
I'm Stan Zurich.
I'm Ed Mac Daddy Mac Ray.
And I'm Kelly Mac Ray.
Kelly, what to say? You just totally cut her off.
I
saw her mouth go. She went, and she just stopped.
Well, I wasn't getting that pause and break like last time we had that collision course.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Stan, I want to wish you a happy belated birthday, my friend.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Stan.
Thank you.
How's it being 39?
39, that was 40 years ago.
I thought I was 25, actually.
There you go.
I wish I were 39 again.
Hear Kelly chuckle in the back. I'm like, ah.
Stan, pick up your walker, please.
Yeah.
Well, I shed a few pounds and I lost some fur.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Last night we
trimmed it off.
Yeah, we went out for Stan's birthday. A whole bunch of us got together. And
it was a good night.
He comes in. I'm like, where did the beard go? Where did it go?
He doesn't look like the wolf man now.
I know.
That was a surprise to me. I didn't expect that at all.
What, the beard or the...
Yeah.
No, you mean the get-together.
Yeah.
That was outstanding. We had a great time.
You got me on that one.
We had to. You do enough for us, so...
I will say this. With his beard trimmed, he does look much younger.
You think?
I think Stan is a good look for you, keeping it clean like that.
Should I dye it and go a little darker?
What is that, just for men?
You should do the Wolfman Jack thing. You don't remember?
Oh.
Was it all gray and two dark spots, or was it all dark and two gray spots? I can't remember.
No, I can't recall myself either.
Remember? He had the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to envision them right now.
I know. I can pull it up on break here and see if I can find them. Mm-hmm. But, it's our time of year, if you will. 16th of October, this is the year for everything paranormal in itself. The veil is the thinnest, supposedly, in October. And mm-hmm. It gets thinner as it goes on until the All Hallows Eve, October 30th. So...
Then you get the trick-or-treaters at your door looking for the candy.
Right? Trick-or-treat, smell my feet, whatever, give me something good to eat, remember?
It was a good time.
Yeah.
I remember trick-or-treating.
I don't see any Halloweeners, at least in my neighborhood.
It's a dying breed.
Yeah, they don't come out.
They got to come out and shake those people down for candy.
Yeah, see, where I live now, my parents' old homestead, where I grew up, we never had trick-or-treaters. I don't know why, but we just never had trick-or-treaters. maybe the location, I'm not sure, but like even the neighborhood kids never came back. Like our doorbell never rang.
No, we used to get loads of trick-or-treaters. We'd always have like big baskets of candies and everything for mm-hmm. them. And then all of a sudden like it dwindled away and we'd have these big baskets of candy and nobody there. So we just decided at some point
just to eat them.
Just eat the candies.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. So what do we have What do we have planned for?
Oh, well, wait, before we get too far ahead, I got something. I've been saying this for 3 years now.
Yeah.
And Joe knows what this is. I'm going to request of Joe again.
I know exactly. Yeah.
Let it out.
For 3 years now, I've been after Joe to carve a turnip.
Right.
It's a turnip.
Okay.
And he's never carved this turnip in 3 years. Now, anybody out there that's listening, go to either his Facebook site or go to the Paranormal Science site there on Facebook.
Has it really been 3 years?
It's been 3 years. 3 years.
I don't know.
The turnip.
I don't know about that.
And tell Joe you want him to carve the turnip.
Carve the turnip, Joe.
He said he was going to do it the first year.
Start a petition on Facebook, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
Carve the turnip.
Carve it up.
Could you imagine that?
Is it a big turnip?
I don't know how big a turnip grows.
Well,
I mean, as far as I know, aren't they like a radish, a little thing?
That's what I was thinking. That's going to be like micro carving there. Yeah. You need an X-Acto knife, Joe? We'll get that all opened up for you.
I need something. I need something, definitely. Carving a turnip. Was it a turnip? I can't remember. For some reason, I think it's something else.
It wasn't a rutabaga or nothing like that. I'm pretty sure it was a turnip.
Why don't you just carve a pumpkin up and get it over with?
No. It has to be this thing, and I'm pretty sure it's a turnip.
It looks like a radish, whatever it is.
Why does it have to be this thing?
Because we've been trying to get him to do it for 3 years.
We did a special on Halloween, and it was about carving. I have to look that up also. It was are you sure it was a turnip? I don't know.
It was about jack-o'-lanterns and things like that, and the story of the jack-o'-lantern. We did all that.
So he didn't follow through on what he was to do.
No, he didn't.
Just like Stan with the past life regression he has to complete.
Yeah, I'm willing to. I'm willing to do it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I still think that's going to be a hard task there, a turnip, because they are like a radish size. And how did this all come about?
Well, we did a Halloween special.
Okay.
And it was about what they used to, how the jack-o'-lantern came about. And it was originally carved, and I don't believe it was a turnip.
It's really a turnip. Don't. I'm looking right at it.
Uh-oh.
I just did a search on carved turnips.
How
to carve a turnip.
Yeah, use a knife.
Carving an evil turnip. Right?
An evil turnip. So use an evil knife. Is that
it? Yeah, that's an evil turnip. They look evil. They look like mummies.
The original jack-o'-lantern, was it? Right?
That was a turnip. These things look like big turnips, though.
I've never heard of that.
I don't remember.
How to carve a turnip jack-o'-lantern.
Stan, did you try it?
No.
Hmm. So we're leaving that task up to Hawkman.
Oh, yes, we are.
The Irish brought carvings, pumpkins, and jack-o'-lanterns to America, but the original jack-o'-lantern was not a pumpkin. Pumpkins do not exist in Ireland. Let's see. Ancient Celtic cultures in Ireland carved turnips. You're right, Stan.
Yeah.
On All Hallows Eve, October 30th, and placed an ember in them to ward off the evil spirits.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember that from the special that Stan and I did. And of course, I just looked it up to make sure there's some history there I'm learning.
I never knew that.
Yeah. Are we here next week? No, we are not.
Yes, we are here next week. It's the following
it's
week
the following
after
week
we're
after.
Not here.
Okay, that's right.
The following week we're not here.
So maybe next week we'll come up with some odds and ends for Halloween again. See if we can find some different ones.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there's something out there.
But all right, so I'll attempt to carve a turnip this year.
The key word there is attempt to. He's not saying he's going to. He's going to attempt to.
I think he's going
to
I'll go buy one right now at Walmart when we leave here. I'm telling you.
I have faith in Hawkman. He's going to get it done.
So we're going to start the carve the turnip petition, ladies and gentlemen. If you're out there listening, you have Facebook. I want you to get on Paranormal Science website and do carve the turnip. We'll sign a petition. Everybody get out there and see how many listeners we have that are using Facebook. And
you know, you should make a post on that page and get everybody to do a like, and the amount of likes, that's how many people want you to do it.
That's
just
it.
Vote for Joe to do
there
the turnip.
Vote for the turnips.
Vote for the turnip.
Yeah. That is funny. That is definitely funny.
And we need pictures of it with the ember in it.
I don't know about the ember, but I definitely will, if I do carve it.
How about like a little tea light candle? It's going to have to be micro-sized.
No, you can't, though. That's what I mean. I don't know how they did that. I think they shoved a turnip in it after it carved because it's just so, like, how do you get it in there? You don't hollow it out. It's not like a pumpkin.
It looks like it's hollowed out. I'm looking at the pictures.
I need images here.
But you don't get seeds from it, like the pumpkin. I mean, isn't that part of carving the pumpkin? You get the pumpkin
God,
seeds
evil.
Roasted.
Look at this evil thing here.
They look evil.
Wow. It does. It looks like a mummy's head. Wow. Yeah.
It does. I wish we had, like, I have a face for radio, but we should definitely... We should definitely do this. And Stan, that's a good idea. Let's have a turnip carving contest.
What do you think of that? I mean, they're pretty creative.
What do you think? Right?
I agree.
Well, that one looks just like a pumpkin.
It does. Well, that must be a pumpkin.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys, I'm telling you. All right, so I'll do that then.
Okay, I'll be expecting it from you.
All right, we'll do this.
We won't be here for Halloween, so you're going to have to hurry it up and do it in a week.
I will, I'll do it in a week.
You know, too bad people couldn't see through the radio, because that one you had up there was really neat looking.
Right? Yeah. I mean, look at these. People get like...
They look like those heads, like from you see in the movie, for like when they get the head shrinking people, you know, like over in the Amazon. That's what they look like. That one looks like it has piranha teeth on it.
It does. It looks horrible, actually. There's some people are skilled. Mine will not look that good. I'll tell you right now.
Sure, it will.
No, I don't know about that.
I'm as much of an artist of a stick man. That's as good as I get with drawing somebody.
Exactly. Well,
man, that's pretty neat.
So, what are we going to talk about?
Well, last week we were going to talk about different haunted buildings and different... Was it last week or the week before?
Week before.
We were here last week.
Talk about local things that are haunted. And surprisingly, Times Leader this past week put up something on there that was a little bit of not accurate, that Wilkes-Barre-Scranton area came in with the most haunted buildings in the country.
No, it wasn't.
Huh?
It wasn't the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton area.
Well, what happened is, if you read the article...
Uh-huh.
How they got a haunted building was they went out and decided how many vacant buildings there were.
And what year they were built
in. What year they were built in.
Oh.
So we have the most elderly buildings that are not occupied within the certain amount of radius, so therefore we became number one.
Yeah. Not that they're haunted, we have old, decrepit buildings.
So they were paranormal buildings or what they call them, haunted structures or whatever.
Yeah.
Because they're empty and old.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's no...
That doesn't qualify.
No, it doesn't.
Not on our scale anyway.
Very, very deceiving, the article was.
Yeah.
It was.
What, by looks, because it's falling apart and looking decrepit, it's haunted?
Right.
Hey, there's absolutely. How many brand new houses do we go to that are haunted?
That are haunted, correct. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's just it. People don't realize, I'm sure if they listen to this program enough, but a lot of people don't realize that it's not necessarily the structure itself that is this haunted. It's could be the land, the area itself.
Yeah, I mean, you have a brand new building and it could be something in the immediate area that is picked up on, you know, especially by our mediums.
Right, absolutely.
That is really cool. Joe has another picture up here of a turnip and a pumpkin, and it looks awesome, like a skull.
It's almost like a Treduncan.
It is. What name can we have for that?
Terpunkin?
That sounds good, yeah.
Terpunkin.
It's a Terpunkin.
All right, what's copyright that?
It's a turnip it's a turnip inside of a pumpkin, and it looks like a little skull coming out of it.
You got a pumpkin cup.
There's no way I could do something like that. No.
No, that takes artistry. Now the meat man can.
Oh, yeah.
He's good.
Oh, yeah,
he's
the meat.
He's a good artist.
Yeah.
He's a good... I could not. There's just no way. Stan, you could carve stuff. You're great with wood.
Yeah. Well, I know I could carve that.
Well, see?
I'm not saying I'm the one that's going to carve it, though.
Can't we deflect it to Stan just to get a good looking one for the
picture?
No,
3 years now. 3 years. And every year...
You're not getting out of this.
It might have been 3 years.
It's definitely 3 years.
You're done. You got to get it done.
All right.
We'll hold you to it.
All right. So when we get back, from break, what we'll do is we'll start on the... Stan's actual
article.
Yeah, the article that he did. Yeah. All right. So stay with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Mark Hayes from Paranormal Science. Did you ever get that feeling like you have 1,000 demons tearing at your back? You know the pain. Are you uncomfortable in your own body, like you're possessed with somebody else's torment and suffering? You don't need an exorcist. You need chiropractics. Dedicated to providing the best chiropractic and rehabilitative care possible, Chiropractics will get you back into the body you remember. Chiropractics, 569 Pier Street, Kingston, PA. Check them out on the web, getchiropractics.com, T-I-X on the end, or call 570-288-5800 and get back to living.
Warning. This program may contain material that is controversial to some listeners. Spontaneous enlightenment may occur.
All right, welcome back, Paranormal Science. Last we left, we were talking about the... talking about the turnip.
Okay, let's move on off the turnip.
Well, I want to carve a turnip.
Okay, you good. You carved a turnip.
All right, Stan.
All right.
Go with your findings, my friend.
Well, before we get there, do we have anything else going on?
We do, actually. East Coast Paracon has a bus trip coming up December 17th.
New York City?
Yep. Going to New York
City.
And it's always a good time every year. Can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
See that tree again? Hopefully it's not as windy as last year, though. We almost got blown away down the, you know, to Times Square and that. It was a little windy.
Yeah, so I want to seek out the carolers.
You mentioned that, the carolers. I wonder if they go through Grand Central Park.
They have to be there somewhere.
Yeah.
Google it.
To be. I'm going to have to Google, look it up, and find out where they're at.
Yeah, Google knows everything.
Google's very smart.
Google's my go-to.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Weekend before Christmas. Weekend before Christmas.
Yep. December 17th.
Go to New York City.
Yep. Go to our website, www.eastcoastparacon.com, for more information. And hopefully we'll see everybody there.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a good time. I love going. I really do. It's that time of the year. Sometimes, like last year we explored a little whatever, but this year, you know, like sometimes I just like to stay around, right around the tree. There's so many different shops and things to see.
Oh, God, yeah. Remember that pizza shop we hit? I cannot remember the name of it.
I can't either.
That was the best pizza I had. That was awesome.
It was. And it was probably about as big as this little studio room here.
Oh, yeah. There was no room.
I know. But it was still great pizza.
That was the best flavor. And it was really good. I mean, I'm not knocking the other places there, but for, like Joe said, a small pizza shop, we just busted in there and we all got a slice, and it was really good.
It was good. It was definitely good.
Yeah.
So remember, December 17th, East Coast Paracon sponsoring a bus trip.
Round trip, leave out of Pittston Plaza, or Pittston Commons.
Yeah, announce the Pittston Commons. Yeah. Change all the old names.
Hey, you know what, though? The weekend before Christmas, just think of the Christmas energy that's going to be around there.
That's right.
It's awesome.
That's right.
Mm. Yeah, we got to get there.
Hopefully we'll find the Christmas spirit again this year.
Oh, we're going. We just got to have everybody come with us and enjoy the time.
That's it.
Absolutely.
That's it.
East Coast Paracon, get the bus tickets. Go to the website, get your tickets, enjoy it.
All right. 2 weeks ago, we were going to talk about haunted places in the area, and we started a little bit today on telling you about the newspaper said.
Yeah.
All right. And we also mentioned haunted mine shafts. So I got a little bit of information on that.
That's good.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. A couple of the local areas that are haunted that we know. Does anybody remember the Banshee Pub in Scranton?
Yes, I do.
I believe they're out of business now, right?
That used to be one of my haunts.
Huh. Mm-hmm. I never knew this. It was an old warehouse. It was used as a morgue in 1917 for the Spanish flu epidemic.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
No way did I know that.
Yeah, so that leads it to be haunted.
Well, Scranton's an old city.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of history there.
There definitely is.
I mean, even where the mall is at now up there, that whole block.
Oh, remember all the old buildings in there?
All old buildings. And one of my haunts, Pete Bordy's, if any of the old timers are around, they'll remember that.
The old timers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. Quarter of draft.
Can't get that now, can you?
No. The place is always jammed. 7 o'clock in the morning, jammed.
That was a morning bar.
Yeah. Third shifters got out.
Yep. I don't even know if you get a draft of a small cup of soda for 25 cents these days.
Look, you can find a water.
I mean, it was a bottle of water.
Used to be free?
Mm-hmm.
It still is at your tap, but,
good luck drinking that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know any stories, any what's going on in the Banshee up there. But
that was my next question for you.
I mean, I have no idea. It's named the Banshee, obviously, because somebody did consider it haunted.
I was going to say, just the name itself.
Mm-hmm.
That screaming like Banshee.
Kind of implicates a haunted or paranormal thing going on there.
You know, I do remember the lights used to flicker at a certain time every night. I want to say it was like 1:30-ish. Because you used to have the upstairs room there. You go up the stairs and they used to be
just before
private.
Closing time, huh?
Yeah. I always used to flash. A friend of mine's sister used to work as a bartender. It's been so many years. I don't really remember the particulars, but I do remember her saying, downstairs where they kept the... where they kept the taps, of course, cold and that, just the walk-in cooler.
Yeah.
And she said down there was always a creepy feeling. Now, granted, it could have been a Faraday cage feeling, I don't know, and that. She said, but I was going downstairs, not just because it was a basement, she said, but I always felt like someone was watching her. That part I do remember. But there was a particular, if your sister's listening, give me a call, let us know. It's 570-883-0098, 570-883-0098, or 1-800-437-0098. It'd be great to, if anybody has any, or if anybody out there knows any stories about the Banshee or anything that we're going to mention here, please call in.
Now, how about yourself? Did you have an occasion to go down there with her to see if there was any feeling there or no?
I never did. No, I never did.
Yeah, that'd be great if you did. I mean, this way you could go down there, have your spidey senses out there and see if you get anything.
You know, when I used to go there, it was usually after work, like a 3-to-11 shift. Or
tired and
it's just
want to relax.
Exactly. There to have a good time. That was it. Never really thought about it.
Hmm. What else we got there,
Stan? What else do we got? Andy Gavin's, and I know that's still because I've eaten there recently.
Mm.
Really?
Eatery and pub, 1800, the building houses this restaurant and pub is haunted by spirit folks call George.
George?
Yeah, George. George likes to tinker with the lights, move dishes around, and even uses the restroom. Huh. Locks the stall, flushes the toilet. He's a clean ghost.
There you go.
And some people even claim to have seen George.
Did really? They describe what he looked like by any chance? Or?
Not that I know of.
Hmm. How about you when you were there? Did you have any type of experiences yourself?
No.
Sense anything?
No. No, I didn't.
Bet you wish you did, though. This way, yeah. Oh, that'd be place, awesome for the story right now.
Well, the place is very busy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's been around for a long time, too.
I mean, George could have walked right up and sat down next to me, and, you know,
you
wouldn't know it.
You wouldn't have known it.
But. Yeah.
It's pretty thin. You'd see right through him.
Yeah, right?
Okay. What else do we got? How about 1212 Marion Street?
Huh.
1217 Marion.
1217 Marion
What's up
Street.
With that one?
It's a house that's 113 years old. It's listed for sale in 2014 with description, slightly haunted. I think somebody called us in on this one last week.
Yes, I think
yeah,
they did.
Yeah. And we don't know whether it's really haunted or not, but they put it on their ad, their real estate thing. They wanted
I was going to say,
did they think it would be a selling point?
Well, the owners say they experience banging doors, strange noises from the basement, footsteps, knocks, screams at night, a ghostly face that appears in the mirror in the second floor bathroom, and a constant eerie feeling of someone standing behind them.
Screams in the night. Just think if you worked the early morning shift.
This is slightly haunted. So imagine if it was thoroughly haunted.
I can't handle that. Like, ever since I've been a kid, mirrors are freaky to me. Mm-hmm. They always have been. I don't know what it is. It's that whole, like, what gets me is, do you ever Portal? See the commercial? Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember the scary movie that was out, but little girl's brushing her hair in the mirror. And then, like, her mother calls her, so the girl is brushing her hair, turns, but the image in the mirror doesn't. Like, that
freaks I know what you're talking
yeah.
about, yeah.
me out. Absolutely.
Sounds just like the about Twilight Zone.
Yeah, just give me a chill on my back.
Well, they say the mirror is like the gateway. It's the, you know.
And they say there's a twin for everybody, so maybe your twin didn't look the other way in the other dimension. And
that's nice.
Yeah.
It's not too comforting, but let's try to make it sound like an explanation.
Right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, another place up in Scranton. The Houdini, by the way, this one's, that home was up in Dunmore.
Oh, Dunmore?
I don't know if it's sold or if it, you know, it's still for sale or not.
Well, if it's sold and the new owners are there, maybe they could call in to let us know if they have anything going on.
Maybe.
Sure. How about the Houdini Museum? Anybody ever been there?
I've never been to that.
I've been there with my kids a long, long time ago. I don't know if it was either the Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts, my son or daughter. Mm-hmm. They do some really nice presentations there for the kids. Mm-hmm. They hold seances there. They do all kind of things. As far as being haunted, it's considered very haunted, but I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going on.
Play at the Ouija board in there or no?
They may. It's got all kind of artifacts in there, different things.
The Ouija board. Can you imagine that?
But, I mean, Houdini Museum, if anybody's interested in finding that out for themselves, they do hold regular hours. They have seances and things. They can check that out themselves.
I mean, you know how we feel here about the Ouija board out there. That's nothing to play with.
That's why I was throwing that out there, being that Stan was there, if you noticed that. They were doing that or that.
Nothing to play with there.
No. Now, recently we were talking to somebody, and a young kid was playing with the Ouija board. Where were we at, Joe? Me and you were someplace.
Really? I don't remember that for some reason.
We were telling the kid not to do it.
Oh, you know, it was at the Paracon. Someone came up to us at the East Coast Paracon 2016 and said that, remember, we were talking that, and they're like, oh, our son plays with this and that.
Play a moth.
I'm like, all right. We had a paranormal incident in the studio, ladies
and gentlemen. Buzzed by his ear was a moth.
Ghostly moth.
All of a sudden, the reason why I got a little quiet there, everybody just started looking at me for no reason. I didn't know what was going on. You know, actually, we have a caller on the air.
Outstanding.
We have a caller coming up. Mike, welcome to the show.
Welcome, Mike.
Hello.
Hi, Mike. You there?
Hello,
Mike.
Yes, good evening.
Yes, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little spooky story about the coal mines here. My grandfather, he started out as a mule tender for the Stanton Colliery here in Wilkes-Barre, which is right below Kmart, and it was a massive operation at one time. The actual breaker burned, but he started out as a mule tender taking the mules down, and they found out about his age. He lied about his age. And he liked his job, and they told him his nickname was Beans. They said, Beans, when you become legally able to have your job, will take you back gladly. But he went back in the mines, and he worked in the mines for about 34 years. He worked up underneath the arena, the Delaware Hudson. He worked for, like, the Glen Alden, which was there at the Stanton Colliery. But down at the bottom of the Red Ash vein there, by Stanton Lanes there, it's 846 feet down to the bottom, and they would go up against the Wilkes-Barre Mountain. And at that time, the fire was actually burning up there, too, and our run started in 1915.
Oh, really?
But he said they had these battleship doors, like watertight doors with rotating handles on them, to go up in these chambers that they carved up in there, like, in the proximity of the fire, to take readings and temperatures. The state inspectors would go up in there. And 900 feet down on the ground, they'd be down there in their T-shirts. That's how warm it was.
Wow.
But anyway, what was I going to tell you about...
About the mule tending and that.
Decades later, up by the old Township High School, which, you know, goes along 81 South there, across the Wilkes-Barre Township Municipal Building there, they were doing all kind of pro holes and borings to monitor the fire, like it was spreading southward, you know, down that way. And they actually found the skeleton of a mule still attached to the coal car.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, like, but to, like, to back up what my grandfather said, you know, years ago, like, and other people that worked there said, you know, well, we were up under Wilkes-Barre Township underneath Georgetown that day, and but how the coal, like, the way it's pressed against the mountain would be such a radical drop, like, to be down there that deep, you know?
Right.
So how would you like to be down? And down towards Nanticoke and all that, the Red Ash vein goes down to 2,000 feet.
Yep.
And I talked to guys that, I'm 58 years old, and I talked to a lot of people, older guys that worked in the mines and all. They said, down in Nanticoke, down that way, he said, these pillars and everything, at 2,000 feet, the cold, the pressure of all that rock would push everything out, and those guys were still down there working like that, you know?
That's amazing. I'll tell you, I give those guys credit. I can never do something like that.
That's almost a half a mile down in the ground, you know?
Says a lot for their character to go down there in those dangerous conditions every day.
Absolutely.
But just like the pressure, like, you just make them small cuts and make gangways and access areas and all, but still, all that weight of... It's unimaginable what's above you.
If it come down, that was it.
Just on some timbers, yeah, right.
Yep, those timbers would mut. They would oak logs, foot and a half in diameter, would mushroom like for 18, 19 inches before they settle, you know?
Right. That is unbelievable.
Yep, that's all I got to tell you guys. Bye.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, those miners, they had a hard life, just to say, their job.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, even when you died, they didn't think much of you. They just threw you on the porch and left you there.
That's what they said happens. Yeah. Now, also about the mules, they were, you know, people always say once the mules went down there, they never came out again. They had pens down there for them. They were basically blind because they were in the dark until they died.
And
they're considered more valuable than the people.
Yeah, because they just kept working.
They moved a lot more than any man can.
Right.
That's why.
Right.
It's a shame, but that's now. I mean, now with Pete and everything else, they'd have some issues here. Huh?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at it, they were down there, and like you said, they were valued more than a man.
Sure.
They were probably well taken care of, even though they were down there in the mines, because that was what got the coal out of the mines for, you know, to go to market. I mean,
that's what made the money. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. You kept them going.
That's what this whole area, for the most part, was.
Yeah. Amazing.
Pretty much all of us had a family member at one time in our ancestry that worked in mines.
I'm sure. That was where everybody worked. They came over, and that's where you went.
Northeast Pennsylvania. It was coal, you know, capital in around in here.
My grandpa Hawk, I know that much. I remember hearing the stories. My dad used to tell me about that.
Wasn't it that the men usually went to the mines, the women went to the silk mills or the sewing
factories? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sewing machine factories. And
I bet you, you know, with the silk mills like Stan just mentioned, I bet you there's a lot of haunted ones around, you know, from back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
The harsh conditions they were. You know, some stuff took place in those buildings.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, you know, let's take a break and then we'll come back.
Yeah.
All right. Well, stay with us.
Yeah,
right, welcome back, Paranormal Science. So, Kelly had to put up there, have Joe Hawk carve the turnip. Thanks, Kel.
You're welcome, Joseph.
So, we already got one like here, and
I'm sure there's plenty more to come.
I'm sure.
You're going to be carving.
I know it, right?
Get the Dremel out and carve easy.
Don't let him do it easy. Don't tell him with the Dremel. Let's see him with the little X-Acto knife. I want to see his hands in there. And
he'll cut his fingers off.
The sweat's going to be pouring down. He's under pressure as he's trying to make the nice cut there. You're going to see a pile of turnips outside his house. All the wildlife will be eating on the corner of his house for the turnips.
I don't know if you guys remember my friend James Alba, Jimmy the Beard. He called in a couple times. And that,
nice guy.
Yeah, he is. Good man. And he's listening tonight, obviously, because he's a little upset at Stan that he shaved. He didn't shave totally. It's still there, but he did wean it down a bit there.
The beard is still there.
If you don't mind, Jimmy, I'm going to say what you sent me here. It says, our grandfather worked out of the Hubbard Breaker. He usually made the kids leave the room when he spoke of his time in the mines. One story I heard him tell was about being so close to the river, he actually could hear the water flowing over his head.
Wow.
So that in of itself, I mean, you know, there are things like that I heard from my mom, you know, and that, of course, you know, by the time I was born, all my grandparents had passed, but except for my mom's dad, and he passed when I was like 3, but I remember my parents, you know, telling stories like that, and you know what, Jim, you're right, it's got to be scary. I mean,
the uneasiness.
If you could hear that water running, could you imagine, all it would take was a little give of the earth, and
fracture, fissure in the wall, and that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
It's coming in on you. Well,
look at the
knocks.
Look at the knocks, right. Yeah. I was just going to say that. Look at that.
Yeah, my great-grandfather, he worked in the mines. My other grandfather, he worked in the mines. I'm not sure. I think my step-grandfather, he worked in the old number 9. But my great-grandfather, I'm not sure what mine he worked in. But everybody had, like I said, their ancestry had a taste of the mines in one way or another.
I know my grandfather worked in the mines, and he lost his thumb.
How did he do that, Phil?
Something, there was a cave or something happened that came down and actually took his thumb off.
Wow.
And he was, really? And back then, you didn't take time off. He was right back to work after that.
They bandaged it up, he went out the
door. That's it. No thumb. He only, you know.
God loved those. I mean, the work ethic of those people.
Yeah.
I mean, it was either work or starve. I mean, that's exactly how
it
was.
That was all there was.
You didn't have the rules or laws protecting the worker back then. I mean, it was just, you had to work.
And him, like many others, he died of black lung, which was common for miners back then.
Yeah, they didn't have the respirators or anything like that, like they do these days.
Well, sure, there was no such thing as
the regulations. There was no OSHA or anything like that.
Absolutely not.
No laws, anything went. You just were down there to work, and if you couldn't work, get out.
I remember this hearing the stories about the canaries.
Okay, mm-hmm.
That were for the gas
the
down there.
Cages, yeah.
Yep.
And you know what that was? That was natural gas that was down there.
Well, same thing, the rats. They didn't mind the rats being down there because if they seen the rats running,
they knew that
something was happening.
Yeah.
You get out.
Yep. That's amazing. Yeah.
They say about ships, even when the ship is going down, when the rats are running up the deck, you know, there's problems.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
All right. We got a couple of haunted mine stories here. Bellevue Shaft in Scranton.
Okay. Where was that one at? Or was it?
Let's see here. In the mines of the
familiar.
Wyoming coal fields experienced an average of 5 fatalities a month.
Wow.
Records for 1872 showed 67 fatalities, 1875, 62, 1877, 40, and 1879, 59 fatalities.
Wow. Mm. Just in that mine.
Just in that mine. So you know the energy down there.
I was going to say that. You know, their spirits... You know, if they lingered in their last place of being alive, wow.
And so the youngest one to die was 10, so it didn't discriminate by age.
Wow. Wow, that's 10 years old.
Well, that mine is supposedly haunted. Okay. In 1872, the Scranton Republican reported a haunting at the Bellevue Shaft. Now, this is 1872.
Wow. That's a long time ago.
Okay. The miners, they reported seeing a ghost to be about 6 foot in height and made of a white, vapory substance.
Hmm.
They shot at a pistol been fired at them. Although many shots have passed through him, yet he seems invulnerable to pistol balls.
So they shot at him.
He shot at him. He has frightened the mules, driven men from their chambers, threatened individuals, and produced a general consternation among the workmen. I guess that's a word, consternation?
I mean, not only did he frighten the mules, but he also frightened the laborers down there when they're drawing pistols and shooting at him.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like they're just seeing a little fog. They're seeing something. That's frightening them.
Wow.
I mean, you're talking hundreds of people died down there.
And you wonder. I mean, if he was threatening the people as well, I mean...
Well, you know, when we do the investigation, sometimes people look at it backwards, where it's not a threat. It's somebody just trying to make contact and reach out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you figure they don't have a voice, or, you know, it's very hard for them to communicate. So, you know, a tap or a shove or a bump or a touch could mean something totally different in that world to ours. You know, mm-hmm. we take that offensively, where, you know, sometimes it could just truly be a call for help. Yeah. So that's something we have to watch.
It could be a warning saying, get out of this part of the shaft, because there's something going to happen. Exactly. It could be anything going on.
But the problem is, you know, I wouldn't say then, but I'd definitely say now, you know, everybody has that Hollywood effect. They see that happening on you know, different shows and stuff like that. So that's why everybody gets scared. But, you know, I would definitely err on caution, because, like Stan said, more times than not, it's not threatening or negative by any means.
And if you think about it, back then, there really wasn't somebody coming out as being a medium if they did have that that power, because they'd be afraid.
Well, they were shunned, right?
Something. Well, if they came out back then with that kind of power or anything, they'd be burned at the stake.
They'd be thinking they're a witch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'd be killed, stoned, or whatever, you know, however they did it to them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm thinking this poor spirit was just trying to let itself be known, or make sure everybody was safe down there.
Yeah, I wonder if there's anything documented when they thought he was threatening them, if something did happen in that shaft where he threatened them or frightened them to get them out of that area.
I don't know. If somebody wanted to do some research, 1872, look up that in the Scranton Republican.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. Because I'll tell you what, like you said, you never know. You just never know.
Could have been a warning.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You got some more here too, Stan.
Yeah, one more. The Taylor mine in Taylor. Now, me and Joe had spoke about this recently, and there was some other stories about that.
Yes.
That we were going to talk about Tilly the elephant at one point.
Huh.
Yeah. And Tilly's supposedly buried there.
Inside the mine.
That's
there's a building there that supposedly she haunts.
But there's no confirmation whether she's there or not, you know, whether she was buried there.
It is amongst the neighborhood kids that they say that they hear, you know, elephant noises coming, you know, the hooves and so on and so forth.
Bugling from the trunk and everything. And
yeah. So, I mean, it's just a local, you know, local folklore.
Yeah.
Folklore.
And I know there's no more. There's one building left there, I believe.
There is. That's the one.
It's the stone or concrete building.
Yeah.
Breakers
you can
gone.
See, you can see that. Everything else is just a field and...
Yeah, it's cleared out.
Yeah.
Okay, it was owned by the Delaware and Hudson Company, and they were fearful of a ghost described as a hollow-eyed, white-robed, luminescent form of a man bearing a light that had no flicker.
Wow.
All right.
A light that had no flicker, so it wasn't a flame. It was just like a light.
Glowing, like an illumination, right.
Yeah. Some type of glow, which goes back to the white form in the other mine.
Yeah.
Right. Several miners attempted to approach the ghost, but it was said to disappear whenever they got too close. So these miners weren't too much afraid of it.
No.
Apparently it didn't try to scare them.
They were just inquisitive about it, wanted to know what was going on.
Right.
Yeah, let me see, and, you know, there's 4 years down there, and you see a fifth guy standing in the corner and glowing.
Yeah. Buddies, what's wrong with you?
Well, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you, though, like, even, you know, even when you see, think you see something on the side of your, you know, your eyes, where you get startled, but imagine being all that way down underneath the ground, all you have are the three or four of the people with you.
Yeah,
there's really nowhere to run. Yeah, where are you going? You know,
you got a flame flickering in your helmet because they weren't battery operated. Right? You got to blow the
flame
up.
Pitch black. You're in total darkness, pitch black. Right. So I mean, if something is glowing down there, it's going to stand right up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Eager to get to the bottom of the mystery, a number of miners stationed themselves around the perimeter of the alleged haunted chamber. So apparently it hung around one chamber. That's what it sounds like. The ghost soon appeared, floated around the ring of miners, and then vanished. According to, the Scranton Republican, the doubtful ones, now convinced, fled from the mine in terror.
I'm sure they had to go back. I mean, that was the only way to feed the family, but that's got to be scary, you know?
You know, years ago,
it's startling, if anything else.
That McDade one? And I wonder if there's anything that ever happened in the McDade, you know, mine shaft up there, McDade Park.
Well, these mines are all tied together at one point.
Yeah, they say you could just walk them for miles and miles.
I mean, I'm sure
you supposedly would be able to enter up here and walk all the way to Scranton. So
it's a long way.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we're in the Pittston area here, and this little area that we're in, right down in Pittston, I think there's a mine in the 1800s. I don't know the exact date. Mm-hmm. 120 some people died at one time in a mine. Mm-hmm. It was a massive cave-in.
Wow.
Then you got the Knox mine disaster.
Yeah.
Right.
There's another handful of people, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's many, many, many others that were killed.
That you don't know about. You don't hear about. And
they're down in history.
You know, they're entombed in that. That is their grave. That mine shaft is their grave. And if they retrieve the body.
You know, Stan and I, you know, usually Stan and I used to talk about this, but it's true. There's so much local history that no one even really knows or even remotely pays attention to. You know, everybody wants to go to Gettysburg. And don't get me wrong, I love Gettysburg. I always wanted to retire there.
Me too.
But there's a lot of local, seriously, I mean, there's a lot of local history around here that would involve something that goes along with the show, you know, paranormal. And again, paranormal doesn't have to mean it's a ghost or, you know, or you see a Yeti or anything like that. It's just above the norm. Things that are slightly unexplained or you really don't have a good explanation for it. And I'll tell you, we're right in our own backyard. We have at least three I can think of off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many times are we just riding around? We'll see an old cemetery.
Right.
One that basically you wouldn't even realize it was there because you can just barely see it through the trees. You get in there, and these graves are like 1790-something, 1810.
I mean, you're thinking of the date, how long ago.
And they're still in good shape, first of all, for the most part.
And it seems every so often we'll go to these graveyards, try to take a picture, your camera won't work, your phone won't work, it's right. Dead.
So telling you all the energy there.
I mean, and you do have the feeling of, you know, something looking at you, something going on there.
And like, and how they were written on, even like the 1786 or whatever it was like an Irishman's wife is buried here or something like it was something so simple, not even a name, like the Irishman's wife is buried here. I was like, okay, doesn't she have a name? Like, who's the Irishman? Like, it could have been, you know, how many other people?
Yeah.
But maybe from that plot, they knew who the Irishman was. I have no clue.
Well, even they put down such and such a person lived 98 years, 17 days.
Right.
They put down the exact amount of time they lived.
Absolutely. I forgot about that. Yeah. I have some real good photos. Maybe I'll post them.
Your camera went dead. You only got a few in, though.
Yeah, I only got a few in. I took maybe five or something like that. Then finally, the battery just died on me, and for no apparent reason. It's definitely different. It's definitely different. So, Kelly, you have something to bring up?
No.
Oh. I thought you had something else going on there. But, if anybody knows anything about the mines, that would be a...
Well, actually, she does. She has something she brought up, and it's about the Black Diamond Colliery in Luzerne. And there's a little excerpt here that Kelly just happened to find, and it's on a postcard. I wish people could see the picture here. In the excerpt, it took a lot of grit, courage, and fearlessness to be a coal miner in the anthracite fields of Luzerne County. So when a miner ends up being confined to his bed from shock after seeing a ghost, there's a good chance that the apparition in question was pretty darn scary.
Wow.
And this happened. I mean, it goes on further, and that's exactly what happened to a miner named Anthony Stensky on October 1st, 1912. Stensky, who worked at the Black Diamond Colliery, was found unconscious on the floor of a chamber. He later claimed that he had seen a ghost whose fingertips glowed with fire.
Wow.
The flaming phantom scared so many workers that the mine was actually shut down for a day because nobody wanted to see the same apparition that Stensky had seen. Hmm. I mean, you figure they shut a whole mine down back then. How much money?
Exactly. Right.
I mean, that was something big.
And not only that, who had to be convinced to do that? Truly. Unless the miners just stuck together like, all right, we're done.
We're not going down that hole. Yeah, that's it.
There had to be like a foreman down there, somebody with some clout, really, to get them to shut a mine down for a day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That was some good investigative work on Kelly's part there. Thank you.
That was, Kel. Excellent
job.
Good job.
There's a lot of them. I mean, there's another one, the Black Diamond.
1912, especially like to come out in 1912 and say that. Again, like we always say, it probably wasn't so socially acceptable to say something like that.
Well, October 1st, 1912, the month of October.
Earlier in the program, October is the thinnest of the veils.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the energy gets a little more amped up, so to say.
And I wonder just how thin, I mean, I don't know how many feet they were down there, but I wonder if there's anything to say about like the depth or the height of the veil or how much it's thinner, you know, atmospherically, if you will. If you're on top of a mountain as compared to the bottom of the valley or as compared to underneath the ground.
Yeah, like sea level, they always say, when they're measuring like the height of a mountain.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good question there.
Absolutely. I wonder, you know what? I'll try to do some research on that, see if there's anything out there that anybody did anything on. Stan, do you know that question? No, I don't know. That's, you know what? I just kind of like, I'm kind of proud of myself. I'm thinking, like, does elevation have anything to do with...
You know what? I wonder if Stan's in this realm, you know, being his October birthday, you know?
Right.
That, like, drew Stan in from a very young age, but at birth,
That's right.
October, but that I'm a ghost?
No, that you're...
I'm just sitting here in a solid form?
Stan, natural born investigator of the paranormal.
That's right.
Yeah. That's me.
I just had to throw that out there. You know, we had his little birthday celebration in October.
You know, it was a great show as far as hauntings. Do you remember I think it was called Ghost Mine. It was on for a couple of years. It was a gold mine out west somewhere that was haunted.
Yes.
And they actually carried the investigation on for 2 or 3 years in this thing.
Really? We had the opportunity to watch that not too long ago. And, they were trying to run the actual mine. They're finding gold. Mm-hmm. And they have, well, to them, they were hesitant to believe them, and they thought they were just basically in their way where they're trying to do their investigations. But right. It was pretty good. We happened to catch a few episodes of it.
Some of them believed and some didn't, but toward the end, almost every one of them believed.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen it. I have to take a look at that.
I forget what channel it was on, but it was on something like American Heroes or American History Channel, one of those things.
The History Channel, I think it was.
We found it by accident. We were going
check
through. There's nothing on. I mean, you have all the channels and nothing on ever, and we found that, and it's like,
it's called
Ghost Mind.
Ghost Mind.
Far be it from us to get drawn into a name like that.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Who would watch that stuff?
You know where I'd like to go for an investigation, too, as far as mines and things? How about
Alcatraz?
I don't know what they're mining there unless they're digging their way out. What about Eckley Village? Wouldn't that be a great place to do an investigation?
And that's close, right by here.
Eckley Miners Village.
Yeah.
We went for a ride through there.
It's unique.
Yep.
It's definitely unique.
I've never actually gotten out of the vehicle, per se. We just took a ride through. That's not a bad idea. When are they open? We'll have to check that out, too. And we'll go talk to one of the curators.
I believe they even have a website or something like that we could visit.
I'm sure they
find
do.
Out their things.
Is that a state museum there?
You know what? I do see state signs there. When we were there, I did see state
historical
signs.
Historical markers and all that stuff.
And I know people actually live there.
Yeah.
But they can't really renovate the houses.
Exactly. Right. That's what I was getting. I remember hearing that part. They got to keep the house pretty period,
That's got to be cold. Because literally, we were going by, and there's no doorknobs on some of the houses.
Yeah, that was weird. Their doors are flat. There's no knobs.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
How the heck do you keep them closed when it's windy out?
I imagine there's a latch on the inside.
There must be something inside latches it. It might be like the old days where they had the piece of wood across the two bars.
You see in the movies all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Like you see the old westerns and stuff.
The monsters are chasing people down the hallway, and they throw the bar and wood there.
Exactly. But yeah, I'd like to, I really would like to go and I want to see one of those houses if they ever have them open up.
They have haunted Halloween lantern tours.
See, Kelly found that information for it already.
All right, Kel.
October 21st, 6 p.m.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear from Kelly. Could you give that date and time again, Kel, for our listeners?
October 21st, Friday, 6 p.m.
Thank you, Kelly.
The Eccles Miners Village.
That'd be the place to go check them out and see what it is.
It's not that far away.
The 21st, that's when is that, Friday?
Next Friday.
Yeah.
Friday the 22nd. 21st? Yeah. Check it out here. But I'm lost without my phone.
21st is Friday.
Yep.
Is it?
Oh, here we go.
So maybe I'll go down there and check it out.
The music's on.
I do hear the music.
I do not like this part of the show. It flies by.
Yes. We want to thank all our listeners.
As usual,
for
a great show.
Paranormal Science. Don't forget to check out eastcoastparacon.com for all of our bus trips and things going on. It's www.eastcoastparacon.com. I'm Joe Hawk.
I'm Stan Zurich.
I'm Ed Mac Daddy Mac Ray.
I'm Kelly Mac Ray.
Don't forget to keep the faith.
And sleep tight.
Yummy.